We will read verse 1, please, of Job chapter 10. My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. The big question, why? Isaiah, please, in chapter 40. Verse 25 of Isaiah 40. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth, not one is lacking. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? My judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power, he infuseth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth. That's an interesting word. It has to do with therapy. He increaseth strength by therapy. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord. Interestingly, that word is three times used in Isaiah. They that stop at God. They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. May God bless the reading of these sacred passages of his word. I would like to take up particularly the statement of dear Job chapter 10 and verse 1. My soul is weary of my life. Now this probably will be a little appendix to what we have been listening to this afternoon. First of all, if I may go backwards, in relation to what our brother Joyce has been bringing before us connected with trial. And again, what we have heard from Ephesians 1, if I may employ it simply to say, that we're going to look at the greatness of God and his purposes in Isaiah chapter 40. Eternal purpose that he has for his people. I am weary of my life. This verse burdened me on many occasions, and because of experience that the Lord was pleased to bring me into, there came occasions when I was weary of my life. I thank the Lord for graciously giving me my life back again. Doctor did not think I would have it, but God was graciously pleased to preserve it to me, but there were occasions afterward in deep depressions when I wished I could die. I was sick and fed up with the frustration of fighting and not gaining ground. I wonder if there are believers like that here today. I am weary of my life. Again, may I turn to individuals in the scriptures, for they are our best examples. I think of a dear father who's weary of his life. His name is David. A son has broken his heart, pierced him into his soul with a sword, that all David can do is weep. Oh, my son, my son. My son answered, he's weary. On another occasion, he speaks these words, I'm going to die someday. a frustrated man, I will die by the hand of Saul. I see a mother also weeping. Weeping and longing, oh, just longing. Longing for a touch from God about her family. Her name is Sarah. What will she do? She's frustrated. She does not know which way to turn. I'm weary of my life. There are men in the work of God in the scriptures of like fashion. There's a Gideon. He came to the place where he was weary of life. He was afraid, fearful, frustrated. No more of it. I'm not going to fight it anymore. I'm weary of my life. Can I turn you to Job, beloved, today? I have to say, when I read this verse for the first time, it made me bow my heart with shame. We're looking at a man in Job chapter 10, and he lost every one of his children. They all died, tragically, in one day. Where would the father go from there? But lo and behold, he lost his business too. He's lost it. It's gone. And tragedy swept into his workforce. Tragedy. The man's totally frustrated. And lo and behold, with his mind so totally overburdened, if he didn't get up one morning and he had a boil on him, and by noon hour, I don't know how many he had. And if you've ever had a boil, you certainly in one small degree can begin to sympathize with that man. What is the use of continuing this fight? I'm weary of my life. You know, I think probably one of the hardest things for dear Job, and I don't say this lightly, but I take a lesson from it. There were men came to visit him. And you know, they sat for 7 days and didn't say a word. I think that'd be one of the largest trials, wouldn't it? Supposed to be friends, and they never said a word to him, and when they started to speak to Job, they were men that did not know Job's God as he knew him, and they misrepresented, misunderstood. Can I just pass on just very quickly a little word to my dear brethren who seek to visit the troubled people of God? Be men of discernment, brethren. Be men of tenderness. Don't be like Job's poor friends. They were no more friends than somebody else. Men of discernment. Men of tenderness. For you may not know it, but there are times when that saint can't even cry anymore. The tears won't come. They're weary of their life. They're at the end of their little rope. Sometimes it's with sicknesses. Other occasions with families, as we have mentioned. Other occasions, financial burdens that have broken them. Other occasions, is matters in God's assembly. And beloved saints of God come to the place where they're right at the edge, and they don't know where to go. I'm weary of my life. May I note with you four results of this weariness just very quickly, for I want to be finished here just by the half hour, or perhaps 2 minutes after the half hour. Let me note with you, first of all, the weariness of trial, or in trial, produces discouragement. Now, discouragement, brethren, is the next door neighbor to defeat. Only a fine line between discouragement and defeat. And if I look into the face of beloved saints today who have laid upon that bed, and you just have come to the place where you said, Lord, I can't take it anymore. I don't know which way to turn. Discouraged.
One of the results of discouragement is to let go. In that weariness, we let go. And time is on our hand. And we say to ourselves, I've got time to kill now, and I don't know how to do it. Never forget, dear younger one and older one, when we are seeking to do what we call killing time, we're killing ourselves. Never forget that. That's feeding the discouragement in my life. Now, I'm not in heaven yet. There will be days undoubtedly when I will become discouraged. But God graciously has impressed this into our souls, each of us here today, I trust. Discouragement out of a weariness is only a hair's breadth from defeat. And my beloved brother Joyce has been showing us how God takes up the vessel with the hard lump in it. He has to take that lump out to make that vessel anew. But beloved, defeat is disastrous. It leads us to act in a fashion that is totally outside of the purposes of God and lead us into the awful disaster. Another result of weariness is being disgruntled. Disgruntled in the sense of blaming others. Someone else is sure to blame for this. If they had only done something different, then I would be in a different situation. Who can it be? Can it be my daughter? Can it be my son? Is that the reason that I am at this place where I have to say, oh God, I'm weary of my life? Sad to say, beloved, our world breeds that between husbands and wives. And that should never be amongst us. It should not be. Can I say to you, dear young couples here today, in the fear of God, be sure to bow your heart before God. Your marriage is not to be 50-50. Your marriage is to be 100% for your wife, brother, and for your husband, my dear sister, and those dear little children for whom you prayed. God graciously heard your prayer, and He's given you them. He's entrusted them to you as a father and as a mother. And when problems arise between young couples, can I say kindly, the best remedy is to get down upon your knees, both of you, and confess your own personal attitudes of sin towards God. That's half the problems in marriages today. People are away from God. May I say that kindly to you? Because weariness, weary of living like this, comes into Christian marriages and into homes, between children and parents. My dear young folk here in your teens today, I speak kindly but firmly to you. You're going to be tempted by this world to be fed up with living this way. And I'm weary of it. Let me say to you kindly, you go into your closet, young man. Get down on your knees before God. That's sinful. God is as a remedy. But the thought that I wish to emphasize is the weariness of the frustration of not knowing what to do next because all the tears are shed. And you don't know where to go. May I speak tenderly to those who are young here today, and you come from homes where your parents have no appreciation of God and His gospel and the truth of separation, and when you were baptized, you know right well there was a barrier came between you and mom and dad, and you don't know what to do about it, and you've prayed over them, and you've wept over them, and you've brought them to the throne of grace, and nothing happens but the separation grows wider and deeper. What will I do? What will I do? Should I change? How can I get to the end of this? How can I undo it? I'm weary of it. I don't know how to handle it. Oh, so many areas. There are sicknesses amongst us today, likewise, that cause God's beloved people to just come to the end of their resources. Frustrating sicknesses. Frustrating. I'm weary of it. And they become disgruntled, cranky.
They become distant. Distant with God's people. And distant to the throne of grace. It's automatic, brethren. I'm afraid I have to say it by experience. Weariness, if it is not laid a hold of and not faced according to the scripture, weariness and frustration, weariness with life, leads us to discouragement, leads us to defeat, leads us to be disgruntled Christians, and leads us to the place of distance. Is there a dearly beloved saint here today? More than one. And that has been the character of your life recently in the assembly. Weary of a person. Weary of someone you think is trying to run you, aren't they? And you've had enough of it. You can't take it anymore. So you stay away from meeting. And you, dear brother, don't pray anymore. You've got the chip on your shoulder now. Is that possible? I'm sick of it. I'm weary. And I don't know what to do. I tried. I did my best. I worked at it. I prayed about it. And I've come to the wall and my back's against the wall and I quit. I am weary of my life. Let me turn with you to Isaiah chapter 40. Actually, this is a very picturesque chapter, but oh, so profound in its language. How lovely it is. So beautiful in extolling the person of God. God is seen here in a dual way. If I may mention it to you, if you were to read the whole context of the chapters in this little section, God is revealing himself as a restoring God, as we've been hearing, and a healing God. He's a physician. I want to notice in the little passage that we're dealing with here, it's physician character that God is going to be seen as. Now you cannot divorce it, brethren, from the recovering God, the restoring God. I do not intend to do that. But I want to point out to you in verse 29, which I sought to emphasize in reading it. This is a medical verse. What God is going to do here is the physician. He's going to heal the broken heart. He's going to heal the frustrated spirit. Oh, I trust that Vancouver Conference will send some of God's beloved people home with tears upon their cheeks of joy. A touch from God that will lead you to the hospital bed where we find an IV in this verse. And on the other side of the bed, a therapist. And God is going to use them both. And what is going to be the result? Ah, my, you talk about finding the fountain of youth. You find it in Isaiah chapter 40. Oh, may God graciously cause its truth to be our portion, brethren. And to all eternity, we will never, ever regret the moment he laid us on our back on the bed in order to give to us the IV and the therapist. In verse 25, we read of the unequaled greatness of the physician. Now, because of time, beloved, and it's my own fault, I acknowledge, I am not able to look at these statements that I would like to. Some of them, I must do so. But it's unequal greatness that's found in God. To whom can I be equal? Listen, brethren. God is leading us up to this verse, verse 31. Stop at God. Take a look at him in all the credentials of his greatness, and you won't go any further. Let me just give you a very simple little illustration. One time I was having meetings with Mr. Albert Ramsey in Hartford, and he took sick. So I took him to my doctor, who is a Jew. Goldenthal is his name, cardiologist, Jew. And I knew what was going to happen as soon as I took him in there. This boy's going to go after that doctor somehow. That's Albert Ramsey. God bless him. And we need to be more like him. But I thought, how is he going to do it? So I'm going to sit right beside the door to find out how he does it. So I did. Sure enough, I heard him pretty soon. Doctor. Says, what are those things on the wall there? There were the certificates, you know. He had eight of them. He's a cardiologist, an internist, and a cardiologist, a surgeon, too. So he had all these certificates on the wall. What are they for? Well, the doctor said to Mr. Ramsey, he said, there are the certificates to show that I have gone to those schools and I have those credentials. Oh, credentials, he said. I must make the story short because I told I would get down here quick. Anyway, he went over the ground about credentials. And then he said to him, you know, doctor, there was a man came to your land
many, many years ago, and he brought all credentials with him to show he is the Son of God, and yet your people wouldn't trust him. And here I am today, and I'm trusting you. Those credentials tell me I can trust you. You know, the doctor stood there. He told me after, he says, he leaned back in his chair, and he just looked at him, saying to him, keep going, keep going. Dear old man, dear old doctor, you know, when Albert wrote that book, you know, about PEI, I said to the doctor, I told him, I said, you know, Mr. Ramsey wrote a book. He said, he did. And I said, would you read it if I give it to you? He said, I certainly would. So I told Albert, dear Albert, sent him one. And he read it, too. I just mentioned that for the sake of the idea of credentials. Here we have credentials. What are their purpose? You can trust me. You can trust me. Oh, the transcending qualities of our God, brethren, above any other manner of restoration or any other scheme of lifting a weary spirit that's ready to let go of everything. There is no other that can be trusted, and one would be foolish to turn to any other source. That's what is being brought before the people here. In verse 25, the unequaled greatness of his person, and in verse 26, the unequaled wisdom of the physician. Notice the language of that verse. Verse 28, the unequaled faithfulness of his person, beautiful language that's used in that verse. The everlasting God, the unbegun, unoriginated God, he who is totally comprehensive, totally sufficient in every character that would meet the need of the weary, broken soul. And these people are at the end of their rope too, don't forget. Prophetically looking forward to a people that at the end, they don't know what else to say. We're lost. It's going to close and we'll have nothing. The everlasting God is the great physician to heal them, to lift the broken spirit. And mind you, the great result of this, let me say just very quickly, is a song is going to burst forth from the lips that once cried out, oh God, I'm weary of my life. Brother, I hope that's your portion as you go to your rest tonight in the mercy and goodness of God. A song to break out from our lips as we leave this conference for weary, broken hearts. In verse 29, we have the unequaled power of God. He infuseth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Now let me note that verse with you very simply. Here's the sick one gone to the hospital. They've gone to see the doctor. What does he do? He lays them on a bed. He's doing two things. He's infusing power. Listen, brother, is that not Philippians 4 and 13? May I make that application? He poureth strength into me. Who's doing that? The everlasting God. The Lord. That's the despot with all the character of his goodness, sovereignty, and goodness resident in him who is Lord. Praise his name. He's not only on my side, brethren, but he's at my side. And he's infusing strength into me. What strength is it? His own strength. The greatness of his own strength. That's what he's giving to me. The physician. And he's the creator. Oh, the marvelous character of God. See him who is causative. From him all must come. From his word, strength is infused into his people. Never forget, beloved, the Lord Jesus in John's gospel. He shows us various times, is it seven times, I believe, how his word and his person are equal. And from his word, he infuses strength into his people. It's not a crutch, brethren. It's real. And his word is causative of strength and power into a weary heart. And on the other side of the bed is the therapist. And what is the therapist going to do? Now, I've put the strength into you. Let's see how it works. Start moving your legs. Go ahead. Let's see you flex your arms. Go ahead there. Let me see your fingers work again. And the weary hand is strengthened. And the lame feet are strengthened. And as I turn to the epistle of the Hebrews, I find this truth as it is illustrated for us. God's people are found in that passage. And they have weak knees. They have stiff ankles. They have shaking hands. And they don't know which way to go. What has it been the result of? Weary hearts. Weary hearts. What is the remedy? The man Christ Jesus. in all the greatness of his person, beginning in chapter 1, what a lofty picture is set before the heart of weary people. And it ends up in chapter 13, and what are they doing? Their mouth is open, and their hands are filled, and their feet are walking. They've been to bed. They've been infused with strength. And the therapist has taught them again. The same hands that let go, they're now busy. I hope next Sunday morning makes a difference in every assembly that's represented here. And weary brethren, and weary frustrated sisters, and even those dear ones that are sick, and you with broken hearts for your beloved children. My time is gone. I must sit down. I was going to tell you a story how God very graciously restored my son. And I tell you, we know what it is to have a terribly broken heart over the situation. But I remember the day when my son called home. He lay, I want to tell you, on the very bottom. That's where God brought him. Praise his name, he brought him there. And he called on the phone. He said, "Mom, you still have my Bible at home?" You know, he didn't have to say any more. My wife started to cry. We'd been praying for it 3 years. And he and his wife are in the assembly today. Thank God. And they're totally dedicated to what he had once turned his back on. That's divine restoration. As my beloved brother Joyce has been bringing before us today. The Lord Jesus in the place of preeminence. What is the result? May I just transgress my own promise just for a moment. I'll be gone from Vancouver tomorrow morning, and then you won't have to worry about me anymore. But notice in verse 30, the youths shall faint and be weary, the young men shall utterly fall. Notice three things. An eagle that soars. A man that runs and he's not weary. Oh, how beautiful. He's striving. There's endurance. And in the soaring. Notice the great expectations, the surpassing the natural. Now, brethren, the same man that wouldn't do anything, and the same dear sister with a heart that was crushed. Look at her. She's soaring like an eagle. Their strength is renewed like the eagle. They tell us there's three things the eagle renews every year, brethren. Three things. Fresh feathers. It molts. Fresh feathers. A fresh beak. It loses a coat. And fresh claws. Oh, how precious. Fresh grip. Renewed strength. IV and a therapist. That's what made the difference. Fresh grip. A fresh diet. And a fresh coat. The weary believer has been renewed. They soar. Listen to him pray, brother, and he's soaring. How did he ever do it? An infusion of the blessed strength of our exalted Lord and a therapist, the work of the Holy Spirit, to teach him, just try it again. And lo and behold, the weary soul is uplifted. Ah, beloved, God graciously caused tears to be wiped away today. Weary hearts to be lifted. I am weary of my life. Let Isaiah 40 be our portion by God's own gracious operation in our heart. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. Patience, endurance, and the greatness of soaring into the heavens. That's the natural place for the eagle. Brethren, that's ours. In the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus, let us reach for the things that are spiritual, and may God graciously lift weary hearts today for his own name's sake.